You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Does it feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill working for someone else?
Are you an investor that doesn't have the support to succeed?
Author, investor, and real estate master Chris Prefontaine is here to help. As one of the nation's top producing investors with over 25 years' experience, Chris can be with you in the trenches to take your business to the next level. Whether you're all alone looking to do your first deal, or you already have a team established and you're looking to grow to the next level, this is your master's class. Let's get started.
Good morning and welcome, smart listeners. I'm Chris Prefontaine, and my focus weekly is to bring you an expert that can help you make a quantum leap in your business, your finances, and or your life. Buckle in here while we bring you the next master's class. I got to say that if you've noticed by now, as a listener, I bring on guests that I'm interested in speaking with, obviously, and then who I feel you'll gain a lot from because it's what we're all about. I also like variety. And many of the guests complement or in some way can be combined with what we do in our particular niche or your niche. And today we're going to spend some time with Jack Haas. Jack, I'm going to give a brief background first, and then we're going to jump into it and have some fun. Jack and his partner Josh actually worked at a large tech company, and they'd actually spend their lunch hours talking about real estate, as so many people that get the itch and kind of plotting their escape, as they say. 2 years later, they've got over 50 transactions under their belt. They hold 31 doors, and they average a transaction a week in 2018 as of the time of this show. So that's pretty cool. And Jack, I want to welcome you to the show, and thanks for being on with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
You know, we can go in so many different directions, but I always like to start with basics because it'll maybe get us into how the heck you got to one a week. I mean, people would love to do that. So maybe give us the... I always call it behind the green curtain, so to speak, so the listeners understand the when, the how, and the why you made that transition. I think it's cool that you started it behind the scenes at a corporate job and then made it. So I would love to hear more.
Yeah, well, the big change there when we jumping from the corporate job, I've been in real estate investing now full time, and I think that's everybody's one of everybody's goals for the past, I guess I'm going on 4 months here now. Before that, Josh was doing it full time for about a year. And when we decided to take that type of action, I think a lot of people would have suspected that it was because of the number of doors or the amount of passive income that was coming in. In my case, when I finally made that jump, it was all about because we started to define the process. Where when I say that is we actually have a success report that I print off on a daily basis of money making action items that I automatically go to when there's a lull in the day. So it just keeps me on focus, keeps me going, and that's actually the reasons why I made that type of jump, was that I had a identified detailed plan of action that I could use as a crutch.
I think it's cool. I got a couple of questions just on that answer. So on the corporate side, when you made that move, you had the confidence, obviously, because of the processes, it sounds like, and then you had the confidence to jump on the money-making items, I call them the similar money-producing activities, MPA. Was there an amount that you guys said, I got to either have this in the bank or I got to have this being generated? And I ask that to qualify because I've got obviously clients, associates, we call them around the country, and I'm always encouraging them. I want it sometimes more than they do to make the jump. You got to get out of the rat race. And so many of them are just afraid, I guess is the lack of a better word. I don't mean that personally if you're listening and sure. That's you, but man, oh man. So if you can just talk about what went through your head is that for that piece, for the money piece.
Well, we kind of decided that if we could generate about $10,000 a month. In Fargo, North Dakota, the cost of living is pretty reasonable. So we kind of had a rough idea of what we needed to generate just to kind of keep the boat afloat, as it will. You know, we kind of just took an honest assessment of what our monthly expenses personally and as a business to just like, okay, what are the bare bones? What do we need to make this work?
Well, I know 10K, Jack, is like, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's the magic number. When I have a questionnaire and someone's going to start the associate level program with us, I say, you know, what does it look like? I mean, what do you want to make? And of course, it's not their goal, but they all come up with $10,000 a month. So interesting that you said that. And obviously that allowed you to scale to the next level, right? Because you kind of dropped all the corporate baggage. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, one of the things too, you mentioned about fear. One of those things that most people are going to be fearful of, and I can speak to this personally, is that, in fact, Josh and I, when I submitted my resignation, I had been in that corporate environment for 8.5 years. When I submitted my resignation, we even recorded a podcast to chronicle it, and you can hear my anxiety. We actually had to stop recording at one point because it had gotten so bad. But taking that honest assessment and getting beyond that fear and still taking action is what really kind of propelled us forward. One of the things that I think is the most interesting is, like you said, when you have two people focused on a specific goal or target, it becomes an amplified effect. You know, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It becomes 1 + 1 = 4. I mean, we've definitely seen that type of amplification. And you had mentioned, we actually thought if I had made the jump and we did one extra deal a month, before this, we were doing one deal a month pretty consistently. We figured if we could do two deals a month, it would be worth it. But you're right. We're seeing probably that a week, if not more right now.
Well, an interesting thing that happens, then I have another comment on your money-making items issue, but an interesting thing that happens, I don't know if you heard Dr. Joe Vitale when he was on our show, but he's big on this, that I'm going to say, and that is that you make that move, right? You guys commit, you make the move, you took your foot off first base. It's miraculous. It's amazing. It's enlightening what happens when you do that, because then everything follows because you took action. I don't know how else to say it. It sounds foo-foo, but that's a fact.
Yeah, no, I've been reading The Alchemist, if you've read that book.
I have not. And so I'm going to jot that down. I usually leave these interviews with three more books.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty short and short book, and it's a light read, but it is, I kind of gravitate towards books that kind of tell a story or have a parable situation, and The Alchemist is one of those. And the concept of, you know, following your legend, and when you choose to do so, the universe conspires to support you.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, and there is something about that. You know, if you would have asked me, that's really funny you bring that up. If you would have asked me even 3 years ago, if I would be reading books like The Alchemist or Buy Into Rich Dad, Poor Dad or Think and Grow Rich, you know, I could go on and on. I would have thought it was crazy talk. I thought some of that stuff was just a bunch of hokum. But once you finally believe that there is information there that you should pull from, that's when things start to open up. That's when my mind just like was really open to the possibilities of that concept of Think and Grow Rich.
You mentioned, I still have a couple of notes I need to get back to. This is a good conversation. You mentioned a couple of things, but one of them I want to go back to is you said you mentioned the podcast and you recorded it. I made a big note on top of your page to mention, I was fortunate enough to be on your show, REI Rookies. Can you insert here for these guys just what that's all about? And then I want to revert back to some of your story just so they understand it. Because there's so many new people that, great if they hear my show, I love it. But they should be, in my opinion, well-diverse in the real estate world so that when something comes at them, they're equipped. And you can just talk about your show a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. We're the REI Rookies Podcast. That's the Real Estate Investing Rookies Podcast. We've recorded over 55 episodes, 56 episodes now, or released them. We really are transparent in what we record. So, we actually talk about what's going on that week, things that we're tackling. And then we have been blessed to have certain guests on the show, You being one of them. We just talked to Joe Fairless too this week.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, so it's been fantastic situation there. But you know, one of the things that I think has been the best about that podcast is that I see it as it really holds us accountable. So if we start talking about something, we really have to follow through with it. It's almost become our accountability partner in that aspect. But when you start talking about things that you've learned, it really sinks in. I don't know about you, but when I feel confident enough to talk about it, that's when I feel it really, that's really when I'm doing my heaviest lifting when it comes to learning.
Well, there's no question. I think my son-in-law said it last week. We were hosting a high six associate mastermind. It's kind of the highest level we partner with and do deals with. And he mentioned that there's no question if you're teaching, forget the accountability thing for a minute, but if you're teaching, talking about it, trying to educate in any way, you do become sharp real quick. You have to. And yeah. From the, I hope the listeners are grabbing, and I'm taking notes so that at the end I can try to recap some of this, but I hope they're grabbing all these little nuggets, because just your comment about accountability, Jack, so many people miss that piece alone. If somebody, you're using your show for that, but if somebody would just take that one action like you did and have some type of accountability mechanism built in, whether that's calling your mentor and saying, hey, every week I need you to hold me accountable to XYZ, or in my case, I have a gentleman that every Monday morning at 8 a.m., we get on the phone and we talk about our biggest wins, our biggest losses, our fixes, and our ahas. That's it, every week. And we hold each other accountable. So please, I implore you, get someone to be your accountability partner. That Jack mentioned a huge takeaway there.
Yeah, and I would even add that I believe in that to such a level that not only do I see the podcast as an accountability partner, but I have a biweekly local accountability partner that I meet with and have coffee with for an hour, just to kind of, we do exactly that. And then having somebody in the trenches with you, you know, yeah, it's kind of, I call him a running partner, you know, in this, my case, it's Josh, you know, with us being accountable to each other and our families, it's really pushed us forward.
Yeah. Same here. We, to get the listeners to understand that this can be done in different pathways to the same end result. We have, as you probably remember from me being on your show, our family runs the company. So every Tuesday is typically our team meeting. Well, you don't get away with too much when the whole family has your list of what you're supposed to do for next week and for the goals. Right. Jack, talk a little bit about, to go back to your accomplishments. I know you more, but the listeners don't. So real estate, X amount of doors we mentioned, 50 plus transactions. Talk a little bit about your niche, because we're talking broad now, but kind of give them an idea of what kind of deals you do.
Yeah, we mostly focus on single family homes up here in the Fargo-Moorhead area. So that's Fargo, North Dakota. We just broke 70 degrees this week. So yes. We have been presented larger opportunities and packages. Now, as other investors are either retiring or they're looking to move into multifamilies. But we have like three parts to our business. We do the buy and hold, and most of our money and revenue is pushed towards the next buy and hold. We have started wholesaling properties to some of our other investors here in town. That really helps us maintain salaries and expenses. And then the other is the fix and flip. We do partner with some people in the area that want to do what they see on HGTV, but they don't know how to find the deal, get the general contractors in play, that type of thing. So we kind of help them on the back end while they make the design decisions and be in a money investor.
Okay, so you're kind of like when I wrote my book, I talked in it about the transaction engineer, and that's probably an older term, but what I was alluding to in the book is just being able to handle any type of deal, frankly. You know, everything you just mentioned is a different kind of niche in and of its own, and you guys obviously are well-tuned in order to do that. You've got a well-oiled machine, so that's really cool that you've studied up on that, and this is why, frankly, I have the podcast that offers all different people. It's funny, you'll appreciate this. You have your own show. I spoke to a gentleman yesterday and I had to cancel the interview because he said, well, I think when I get on your show, I think I might help you convert to, and he gave me his niche. It's not even worth mentioning because I know who it is. And really was all about just talking to his tiny audience of that one niche and didn't want to let them hear anyone else. It was really strange. Whereas in real estate, I think you got to know all avenues. You're going to take it on the chin. What are your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, you need to know the avenues so that you can take advantage of opportunities when they're presented to you. I mean, if we've ever read, we've all read Rich Dad Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant. I mean, I'd say it seems like every time I have a show or an interview, 90% of our guests, that's one of the things that started the spark. But like I'm in a situation right now where we're starting to get a reputation in the community and we're starting to be presented larger and larger opportunities and deals. And so I'm trying to consume as much information as I can on assessing multifamily opportunities now, just so that I can be more comfortable in that part of the world. And when I'm doing that, it only benefits my core business. I mean, the more you start to consume other information, it all comes back to what your core small, you know, even if we stayed in single family, at least I'm educated in assessing those opportunities as they come up.
Yeah, I agree. As you're talking, I'm thinking of two or three quick examples. I got some files sitting on my desk here. We do, as you know, buying and selling on terms, and we exit most on rent own, lease purchase. However, because just what you said, opportunities happen. We did a 4-unit, a 6-unit, both on owner financing. Both have full price offers on my desk now. So those are deals that started 3 years ago. And then another one, we couldn't move rent own. So we pivoted and we did a college rental. These are all cool exits, but you don't know if you don't know.
Right. You know, and that's one of those things that we've gotten over the past couple of years. I think we've gotten really good at is when we make an offer to acquire a property, we offer multiple options. So we'll throw out three options. One is like a cash purchase price, and then we'll inch up closer to their asking price, depending on if we, here's a better way of saying it. If we can't control the cash price, we'll try to control the terms.
Love it.
So we'll inch up towards what you're doing where they will hold the note and we start making them payments, for example. And because they hold the note, then we can get closer to their asking price. It's a way to make that more attractive.
100%. 100%. I don't know if you're familiar with, you must be, John Martinez's training all the training for Scripps. Have you gone through his information?
No, I haven't, but I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, I'll give him a plug here. I sent my son-in-law Zach and my son Nick 2 weeks ago, and I had John on my podcast. He'd be a phenomenal guest for your podcast, by the way. And I hope he hears this, but he trains a lot of investors around the country. I don't think there's anyone better. And I sent the two of them 2 weeks ago, and the conversion rate, Jack, and the options, the best way of saying it, relative to Scripps and negotiating is just through the roof. So I hope all the listeners go to his site. I got no tie to it. He's got a free course online. Go check it out. It's pretty cool. And he's also interviewed on my show. Jack, we're going to take a quick breather. And when we come back, I want to delve into kind of do a pivot and delve into maybe some roadblocks you might have run into and then jump to some successes and hear a little bit more about you personally. So we'll take a quick break here. Hey, smart listeners, just a quick break for an important message. We get asked all the time exactly how our family team continues to do several profitable deals every month in real estate and what you can do to copy our success yourself. We're constantly updating our systems, our checklists internally, our deal finding tools, our scripts, emails, attorney agreements, and all kinds of other tools and tips and techniques and protocol to help you have a profitable business. We bring all that and a lot more to our students and our associate level members. So any pain, success, or stumbling blocks you're going through, I promise you we've been there. The difference is we've figured out how to break through all the roadblocks and can shortcut your learning curve by allowing you to do and have the same tools and secrets that we use without having to suffer the way we did to figure it all out and incurring the cost. You can literally just step in using all our systems and tools and copy what we do for yourself. Sound interesting? If you'd like to discover more about how we can jumpstart your success, I invite you to check out our free webinar and grab your over $1,500 worth of gifts and bonuses that we offer after you attend, which includes a free strategy call with us. If you're serious about developing a business the easy way, the simple way, the predictable way, without being forced to spend years trying to figure it out yourself, a business that literally creates three distinct paydays per deal, averaging right now around $75,000 per deal, just text the word REAL to 66866. That's capital R, capital E, capital A, capital L, to the number 66866. And we'll send you some info about our free ebook as well as our webinar. Hope to see you there. Okay, smart listeners, we are back with Jack. And Jack, really cool chat so far. I've enjoyed it. And I hope the listeners have. In fact, I know they have. Let's jump into a little bit different topic, and I'm sure it'll chase a different direction here. We've all made mistakes, right? Mine, if you haven't read my book in 2008, mine was the debacle of 08, and that really kicked my butt. And so I write about it just like you. We're transparent. I tell people what can go wrong. What kind of speed bumps that have you guys hit? And maybe you haven't yet, but I know that most people who hit speed bumps that are successful don't use them as failures. They use them as kind of a crutch to go ahead and achieve something greater. So anything that you experienced that you kind of learned from or created something better from?
Yeah, well, we haven't experienced too much of the roadblocks in our current business. I will say that I did have a business in previously in 08 as well that we focused on real estate websites and marketing, that type of thing. And in 08, that was just a disaster. Learning from that situation, I've definitely learned how to better create a partnership, understanding those people that are on the same wavelength and path as you. I think Josh and I are in a great partnership now where we can hold each other accountable and we are very clear on our goals and having that similar and that same target. Unfortunately, I didn't have that in the previous partnership that I experienced. So that is probably the biggest lesson learned in 08 for me, was when that crashed and burned. It really helped me in this situation. In fact, Josh had to convince me to join a partnership because I was so against any concept of it that that was another fear and roadblock that I had to overcome.
Well, I mean, you could have gotten the fetal position, and more importantly, you could have stayed there and just stayed in corporate because you had a nice warm and fuzzy net there. So again, I hope the listeners that are in the corporate environment, and you know who you are, if you're some of my associates who have been pounding on the head to try to make a move, I hope you listen to this, and I hope you use it as another reason, another way to see the light here, as Jack and Josh did. Let's do total opposite, Jack. You've been at this long enough. I know you must have had some great successes. What do you consider to be your biggest win, you guys?
Well, for us, it's kind of a small story and a maybe an odd win. It was one of the first deals that we ever did, and it was a small single family home here in Fargo. It was a one bedroom, one bath. I mean, it was just a box. In this part of the part of the United States, that house would probably sell for about $80,000, and that's what it was on the market for. We submitted an offer through our real estate agent at 30, because that was the only way we could get the numbers to work. And our realtor at the time even laughed at us and said, "Well, do you want us to to call the agent?" And we said, "Nope. Write it up. We want it in front of the family." And in doing so, it wasn't even 24 hours later, he called back and said, "Guys, they didn't even counter. They accepted the offer."
Nice.
So it was ever since then, and it's been 2 years strong, we never let the agent float an offer by anybody. We always get it in writing, no matter how ridiculous. So you do have to find a realtor who is willing to build that relationship and have a steel cup. The second thing is that you never should assume the seller's motivation. I'm always still amazed how many people I talk to who wouldn't ever submit that type of offer because they wouldn't accept it. You never understand, or you just never assume the motivation of the seller. So We always put it in writing and we always throw out offers. In fact, we probably on average throw out 15 to 20 offers a week.
You know, you brought up seller's motivation. One of the many things we were teaching the high six partners last week in the mastermind, and it came from Martinez, his training, but it's not all about price. We had so many of our partners worried about price, worried about trying to get them the most they could the way we do business. And when we went back and all reminisced a little bit and kind of looked at the deals that we had completed, I think in the room, we had like $2.2 million in profit between six of them. And they said, wow, you're right. It's not about price. It was always about their motivation. It was always about something they were trying to solve. And I don't just mean a problem. They were just trying to solve something. They may be buying another property. They may be looking for closure. They may be getting a divorce. So you don't know. I think it's a huge point that you brought up. So be open to that. And you know what the long and the short of it is? Get trained the right way. Get in front of the right mentor or get that training I was talking about, the scripts. Jack, kind of, I won't call it rapid fire, but kind of my wrap up. I get a lot out of these endings too, but top three productive things you do daily to be the very best at what you guys do. You've already shared indirectly some at the beginning. Anything else you can think of that you guys do every day?
Well, for me, it's there's so much about mindset when it comes to what I do on a daily basis. So I have about a 40-minute commute every day. So I have prioritized. I used to be a big music fan. So I've kind of set that stuff aside. And while I'm in the car, every time I'm in the car, whether it's just driving in, commuting, or going to my next appointment, I'm always listening to podcasts. I'm always listening to audiobooks. I'm always consuming something that is going to better my situation. So that is the first thing that I do on a daily basis. The second thing, I always review my goals and what needs to be done. I don't know if you've ever read The One Thing by Gary Keller.
Absolutely.
That is a fantastic book, and it's a great way to kind of summarize this thing. You know, starting the day with the concept of what is the one thing I need to get done today to make my day 80% better, and tackling that until completion is one of the best things I've ever done. I mean, it's just a fantastic way of starting the day, getting it done. You're always progressing forward when you do that.
I love it. The mindset piece, let me comment on that. Another thing, it keeps coming back to my mastermind last week, because a lot of these points you're bringing up are huge and they were brought up last week. I started the full day with around the conference table, and I said, I want to talk to you about what we've learned working with you guys. And I went through some nuances and some skill sets, as you and I just alluded to. It's important. But then I wrapped it up with, I will tell you all that it's 98% between the ears after all the other things are in place, right? So everybody understands they got to learn the basics in the business, but then it becomes what's between the ears, that mindset. It really does, because that's the self-doubt. That's the, well, so-and-so did it, but I'm not sure it works here. I mean, it's just crazy. It works every day, all day long, if you have the patience and the wherewithal and you have the right mentor. And so the mindset is huge. In general, everybody I have on the show seems to kind of always be on this never-ending learning curve or kind of challenge. What's the next challenge you guys are looking to master, or the next project you're looking to master?
Well, like I said, I'm looking and researching more and more regarding multifamily. In this market anyway, I don't know if I can't speak for the U.S. in general, but in this market, it seems like pro formas are, you almost have to weed out the fact from the fiction. A lot of that information you know, a great example is I saw a pro forma recently where they basically extracted the best month from the previous year and then created a year-long pro forma based on the best month. So, you know, just making sure what you're looking at and really, I'm really digging into some of that type of thing right now.
That's neat. That's neat. I'll put a plug too. If you haven't chatted with him, he happens to be from Boston. His name is Charlie Dobbins, and Charlie does multifamily. But the cool thing is he's an attorney who left his practice to just do this now. Personally does it like I do, you know, in the trenches, multifamily, and then teaches it and coaches it. Really cool setup. Had the fortunate experience of meeting him here at my office, but had him on the show as well. So you might want to dig into his stuff, and I'm happy to make an introduction. Just email me.
Yeah, great.
Jack, what is your favorite real estate book and favorite business book?
Well, my favorite real estate book. I'm going to actually go The Millionaire Real Estate Investor on this one. You've heard me talk about Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Cash Flow Quadrant a couple times now. But The Millionaire Real Estate Investor really kind of started to lay down the blueprint of, okay, now you got your mind right. Now, how do you get this done? So I really put a lot of credit in there, and it's one of the few books that I read twice. As for business book, I'm going to change this up just a hair. I'm going to say it was The Traveler's Gift. If you've ever read that book.
I think I did a long time ago. Give us a 10,000 foot view. Cause I did.
This is more lessons of life. A person is experiencing facing his death, and he goes back through time and visits different historical figures, which give him life lessons. So it was just really kind of profound and in my face, and I think it just hit me at the right time.
Which is always the case, right? When people say to me, "What's your favorite book?" I go, "I don't know. I mean, last month it was this. When I was 30, it was this." it's where you are.
So. Yeah, and I'm about to start reading Extreme Ownership by Jocko. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Nice. Report to me. I'd love to hear it. Sure. Talk about the importance of, in your opinion, the importance of mentors, and do you have a favorite mentor to date?
Yeah, well, we talk to and use Matt Terrio quite often for our mentorship. So on a national level, I can't speak enough about mentorship in any way, shape, or form, but I am absolutely convinced to my core that if you don't, there are some mentorships that have a cost to them. I am convinced that you either pay for them and be upfront about it and get that type of leadership and experience on your team, or you pay for it with your time, effort, and spinning your wheels. And I mean, you're going to pay for it one way or another. I saw it as another return on that investment. I just saw it as we're building another house, and what kind of return can I get out of it? And when you start to see it that way, it's not a hurdle anymore. It's just become, okay, how can I get this done too?
You mentioned our return on investment. So here's something you'll find funny, maybe amusing. I think it was about a week ago. It was right before the mastermind. I'm not on Facebook much, but of course we have people that run it and do ads and things like that and cool posts. And we had an interview on this show with one of our associate members who had done three deals, and all three paydays, we call them paydays per deal, he had accumulated about $250,000. So there was a cool interview. So on occasion we'll have students on, and the comment below it, and I know who the person was, but the comment below it was very expensive coaching. So I wrote back, which I usually don't, but I wanted to have some fun with it. And I wrote back, isn't the ROI what's important? Not the cost, mm-hmm. anything. And he wrote back, what is ROI? So, you know, what you said rings loudly. I hope it rings in everybody's ears. It's not the cost. I don't care if we're talking about buying a property or hiring a mentor. It's what is the return on investment? Because if someone said, let me give you an example, crazy, facetious, but very applicable. If someone said to you or me, and we're in the audience of a seminar, and the speaker, let's say Tony Robbins was up there, and he said, look, anyone that can go out and find $50,000 in the next 48 hours, I'll double your money. Just come up here and give it to me. I'll give you $100,000. There's not too many people that wouldn't get super resourceful because they know the outcome is said certain. The mm-hmm. problem is the self-doubt kicks in and they don't think it's said certain. That's exactly. The problem.
Exactly.
So interesting you said ROI. You're hitting a lot of cool things that happened over the last 10 days with me. Okay. So kind of my last question, and maybe we'll lead to somewhere else, maybe not. Let's, given what we talked about now, I usually change up my last question, understanding a little bit better about your situation. Let's imagine for a moment that you're standing in front of a room. Let's say you're at one of my events and mm-hmm. you got a bunch of people. Let's say in the room is just people that are looking to make a move from corporate, because there are a lot of people out there that love real estate or want to love real estate, but they can't make the move. So they're battling their way through the same old crap that everyone does, the uncertainty, the can I do it? Will it work for me? What would be two or three strategies you'd recommend that they focus on so that they can have success and make the change you did?
Sure. Well, the first thing is that I would take an honest look and assess your actual expenditures. I think you'd be surprised at what you actually need to live your day-to-day life, and be honest with your spouse about what's about to happen. I mean, I think that was a big thing for me too, is that my wife is definitely a cheerleader when it comes to my actions, and I am just as transparent with her as anybody else. I mean, she's my best friend. I mean, it's one of those things where I post, or Josh and I review our wins for the week every week, and I always write it up at the end of my week. I every Friday I have a list of these are our wins, and I copy and paste that and text it to her every Friday, just so she knows what type of actions and activities were going on this week. So having your spouse or significant other on board is a big thing, and it was really helpful for me. But the thing that I think one of the triggers for me too was, I sat in a cubicle for 8+ hours a day, 5 days a week, and then many nights and weekends I was always on call. And I would sell contracts in hundreds of thousands of dollars to corporations across the United States. And I started to question the concept of the amount of time, effort, time away from my family, just the amount of work that I put in and the amount of commitment I had to that job. And knowing that in actuality, the corporation doesn't have the same commitment to me that I had to it. And then thinking that if I would take this same amount of work and energy and life and put it towards my own thing, couldn't I generate the same income? I mean, if you think about that now, I mean, that's a big fear for people. If you're making, whether it's $4,000 a month or $10,000 a month, if you would focus your energy into your own thing and be honest about the action items that are needed and the steps that are needed to be taken, you could very likely generate that same amount of income. Just refocus what you're already doing.
And as we said at the beginning, probably a whole bunch more, but at least you get your butt covered.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Jack, I appreciate the candor. Your style is like ours, just kind of out there, transparent. It's the only way people learn. They don't learn from fluff. So that was really awesome. I mean, the highlights, I could make a page. I got notes here, but between the processes that you mentioned for your move, the money-making items, the accountability, you gave some mindset books, some life books, some real estate books. So there's just a lot of takeaways. And I know many times when I'm being interviewed afterwards, I'm thinking, man, I wish they asked me this. But man, why didn't I say that when he or she said this? So is there any other last minute thoughts you want to share? And if you want, you're welcome to give these guys how to contact you. Maybe there'll be a potential guest for your show. Who knows?
Yeah, we're always looking to learn, and we love more guests, and I really appreciated you being on our show, Chris. It really opened our eyes, and we've really started to add more and more of that seller financing options in our offers. So really appreciated your input and time on our show on that. You can find more information on us if you want to check out our show at reirookies.com. And our primary company is Valley Property Partners. So if you want to take a look and see what we do, but you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and SoundCloud and everywhere else that these social networks are everywhere right now.
Terrific. So check it out, guys, REI Rookies. And when the show airs, we'll be sure to promote the daylights out of it for you, Jack, and get you some good exposure, because I think it's great energy. And I'm going to mention you tonight on our associate mastermind call and use it as a very encouraging moment and thought and brainstorm for getting people out of that corporate grind. And if they want to reach out to you, I'm sure they will. Okay, smart listeners, here are some closing thoughts. I threw a bunch at you already, but grab one or two or three of those action items, those takeaways, those cool candid shares that Jack gave you, and go create a quantum leap. I mean, Jack actually pointed to, without even knowing what we were going to talk about, some really cool transitional things, some good energy things, and some very pointed ways to make that quantum leap. Also, be sure to see the show notes below the podcast. If you're not listening to it on the actual site, go to smartrealestatecoachpodcast.com. If you are on iTunes, or if you could head to iTunes, please help rate the episode. Give us a 5-star rating if you enjoyed it. It'll help others discover the information, and we greatly appreciate it. Jack, we again appreciate you spending some time with us today. You spent about 40 of your 10,080 minutes this week, and those minutes are valuable. And so I appreciate it. Go off and enjoy and make the rest of them super productive. And thanks again for being on.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Now, just a brief thank you to our sponsors, Jason Davis with American Financial, who helps us get our buyers financed with pre-property solutions. And aside from having years in the business, has specialized in the rent-to-own market, as well as Paul Dion, our tax specialist and CPA, who can service all states for all your accounting needs. You can find Jason and Paul in the sponsors section of smartrealestatecoachpodcast.com, as well as the show notes. I strongly suggest making them part of your dream team.
Thank you for listening to our Smart Real Estate Coach podcast. Want more? Text the word REAL to 66866 and get our Eat That Sandwich ebook about creating fast, stable cash flow with sandwich leases. Packed full of actionable real-life examples and advice to help you move to the next level of investing.